listening easy to Smooth Sailing with your captain, Texan Scanberg, only on WJEB Radio, Milwaukee's finest classic country music, with special guest,
to Smooth Sailing. This week we are having Nathan B, the mysterious man himself. What does the B stand for? I don't know. What does it stand for, Nathan?
Stands for bees.
Nathan B's it is. You heard it here first, folks. Anyways, Nathan, how have you been doing? Are you enjoying the weather?
I am enjoying the weather quite a bit, honestly. I tend to like colder weather more, so I'm fingers crossed for snow, especially for Christmas time.
Are you looking forward to the Milwaukee standard of snow on top of about a foot thick of salt?
Yes. Combining two of my favorite things in the world sounds like an excellent idea. Albeit usually when I like salt, I like it on food.
Would you classify yourself as a connoisseur of salt?
Probably not. However, I would say that I am closer to a salt manic, because I can eat like one of those like saltine packets. I used to like in middle school eat like a whole one of those for lunch, along with the rest of my lunch. So it got a little bit excessive at one point.
What would you say the your daily sodium intake is? 200% of the recommended amount? 500%?
You know, nowadays I'd probably say that it's closer to 100% since I'm forced to, I get to eat from the MSOE cafeteria every day, so my salt intake is probably much lower.
But in the past, also, I highly doubt your previous statement considering you do have the wonderful privilege of eating at the MSOE ADC-sponsored cafeteria that does serve foods that are often quite high in sodium contents. But anyways, in the past, what would you say has been?
I would say probably between 100 and 200%, potentially ranging upwards of that, depending on my mood.
Like, what do you like so much about salt?
I don't know. So there's a weird triumvirate of like flavors, you know. It's like salt, sweet, and savory, right? And so whenever I eat too much of one or two types of the food, I want the third, you know. And mm-hmm. so I sort of do a cycle between the three, and every so often it'll be like, oh, I'm going to eat like 200% of the sugar that I'm supposed to, and then the next day it's just like, oh, well, now we're doing salt.
Do you like all three, or do you have a preference between that trifecta?
I like all three, but sugar probably hurts my stomach the most, so I don't tend to do it the most. Of the three, I'd probably say that savory is probably the best for me, albeit fats in the savory category aren't.
Can you define what savory foods you would like, or what is a savory food to you?
I don't know why, but I keep thinking of specifically like steak, which is, you know, kind mm-hmm. of the capstone of savory, more or less. But just like a lot of, yeah, I would probably consider myself to be a bit of an umami enjoyer, as John Bilkey is so generously providing in the chat.
Have you dabbled with the MSG, he just said? What is MSG? I don't know.
I hear that word thrown around a lot. I also do not quite remember. The last time that I had it in conversation, I think that somebody referred to it as, like, salt, and I'm just like, that's not right, I don't think.
Monosodium glutamate. Quite common in Asian foods. The food man in the chat has informed us.
Yeah.
I have almost certainly dabbled with it, though I have not dabbled with it intentionally. I've actually been to Japan, so I tend to like a lot of, or well, correlation, not causation, but like, or I might have gotten that switched around. But anyways, I tend to like a lot of foods from there. I wouldn't say that I could eat them forever, because like I definitely can't. I learned that fairly quickly, but just like I tend to enjoy the occasional sushi or like ramen, whatever.
Mm-hmm. You said you visited Japan. When was that?
That was actually in 2018, I believe. I had an older sister, or I have an older sister who brought me very generously.
Was it like a vacation trip or like a business trip, or was she staying there and brought you over?
She was visiting family, and she had an extra ticket to, or an extra person to bring along.
Mm-hmm.
And her fiance hadn't enjoyed it the last time that they had gone, so she knew that I was taking Japanese and that I might enjoy it, so she brought me.
That's cool. What can you tell us about your trip there? Anything that really stands out?
Well, there were a lot of like little things that were like funny looking back on it. It was a very beautiful, very, very clean place. Just like sort of in general, I would like to go back at some point to just sort of take a slower look around, because we tended to have to rush from place to place. A kind of funny thing is when we got to Mount Fuji, it was so cloudy that you couldn't see like more than 10 meters off of the side. But there was another mountain that we went to that didn't have that problem, and it was really pretty.
You climbed Mount Fuji?
A couple of stations of it. So they have like tour buses that'll go up, and I think there are something like between 5 and 8 stations, and we only got like halfway up because of the fog and time constraints. But yeah, I have like pictures of like me standing next to a bunch of fog, which has like a distant Mount Fuji sign in the background. It's kind of funny.
Well, I mean, that's still very cool. I don't think anyone's going to debate you on that. I mean, not everyone can say they climbed Mount Fuji, even if it's like foggy, like you're still climbing it and going up past checks. Never mind. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very cool experience, and I'm very glad to have done it. I would highly recommend, if you have the opportunity, taking a trip there. I know that there are, like, Groupons and stuff that are really cool that you can... Sorry, I cut out. There are, like, Groupons that you can get and stuff that are, like, pre-constructed tours with, like, airfare and hotels included that you can get for, like, $1,500, which is, in my opinion, ridiculously cheap. The only drawback is that, like, you don't get to really plan a whole lot of it yourself, but, like, honestly, it's probably pretty decent anyways.
So, that being said, I do have a question about, sort of relating to the packages, which is, where in Japan, like, are those packages, like, often like offered? Because I know, you know, Tokyo in specific is a is it a megalopolis, or is it the one above it? It doesn't really matter, but I know that a vast majority of the Japanese population lives in or around Tokyo. Am I correct?
Yes, for the most part. Japan in general, has it sort of builds tall instead of wide, if that makes sense. Like, here in the U.S., a lot of our population is sort of scattered around, because we have a whole lot of space. But in Japan, where they don't have as much space, and they don't have as many, like, resources, like, just naturally occurring, because it's, you know, less land coverage, and also mountains are difficult to mine or, like, extract resources from, they tend to make their cities very, like, tall, which means that a lot of people are more likely to stay in one building as opposed to a lot of people in a lot of buildings. You know, so it's definitely good or correct to say that, like, almost all of Japan's population comes from, like, the bigger cities or, like, just towns in general instead of, like, unincorporated territory.
Mm-hmm. And where did you visit on your trip there? Which of the major Japanese cities did you visit, and where did you stay?
So this is a bit of a issue with me, is that, sometimes my memory is rather lacking. So I remember a couple of cities really strongly, and then I remember a couple of them not as well. The ones that I kind of remember a little bit more are the, Tokyo, which I'm pretty sure that I actually landed in. My sister had plans to, take me to, like, a couple of really interesting tourist places, before we left. And it was very neat to sort of, like, walk around the city and just see how, like, compact everything was, and, like, the fact that you couldn't see any stars, even at night, was kind of interesting. And then I also know that we went to, two other cities, being Hiroshima and, Fukuoka. Oh, and, sorry, there was an island that we went to that I forget the name of. But all three places were very pretty. Fukuoka was... not a whole lot of people have heard of it, but it's also the 6th largest city in Japan, so it's kind of interesting. And then Hiroshima was very pretty. We went during when the cherry blossoms bloomed, so I got to see all of the cherry blossoms along the riverside in Hiroshima. And it, while it was very pretty, it was also kind of sad because we did visit the Peace Park and the museum.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Sorry for sort of hijacking all of this with
No. I'm just thinking like that was because I've seen the pictures of Hiroshima's. Oh, I'm getting a call. We're gonna have to cut the commercial. So we'll be back in a minute.
Your girlfriend might have left you, your tractor might have just been repossessed, but here at WJEB, we'll fill your heart with the finest classic country tunes. Tune in to 101.1.
And welcome back to Smooth Sailing on WJEB Radio 101.1 FM, Milwaukee's finest classic country music. This is Jackson, Captain Jackson, and I am here with Nathan B. Nathan, are you there?
I am.
Mr. B's. I believe you found a correction on your Groupon statement while we were on break?
Yes. So I looked up the Groupons, and 1,500 is sort of a lowball estimate. They're typically around double that, but if you get them on sale, then it can be pretty cheap.
I see. Well, before we went on break, we were talking about Hiroshima in specific and its famous cherry blossom trees, and specifically the season where they bloom. Tying into that, you also mentioned earlier that Japan is a very clean place, you said.
Yes.
Can you describe what you mean by clean as, like, compared to the U.S.? Like, did they have just much better, like, construction or, like, agriculture, parks, like, for all of the above?
Yeah, so kind of all of the above, actually. So, a couple of things that that I noticed were, on my entire trip, I was paying attention, after I started noticing, the number of times where I saw litter or, like, debris, like, anywhere was, like, 2 or 3 times. And, like, 2 of those times were, like just sort of piled together. So I don't even know if it was technically counted as, like, debris so much as, like, a place where they put all of their garbage to be taken later. So, like, just in general, like, streets were very clean. My sister said that she didn't count a single pothole, because the only pothole that we did face was already filled in. And, like, to sort of give a, I don't know what the wording is, but, like, an example of, like, a comparison is that, the air there, I got so used to it that when I got back to America, the first thing that I smelled out of, like, getting out of the airplane was just, like, how there were so many chemicals everywhere, like, in the airport. Like, it just, everything smelled like hairspray, you know? Like, just really strong and kind of nasty. It was very interesting to see the difference. If you are talking, then you are on mute. I apologize. This is my show now. I'm just kidding.
One sec.
Okay, while he's doing what he's doing, I will tell you all about MSG. So monosodium glutamate is a flavor enhancer commonly added to Chinese food, canned vegetables, soups, and processed meats. The Food and Drug Administration has classified MSG as a food ingredient that is generally recognized as safe, but its use is also controversial. I could not say what foods I've eaten that have MSG in them. Oh, John Bilkey is saying that MSG is used in many American chips. Pringles and Doritos. Yeah, that sounds about right. It's probably in Lay's too, right? Or is that just salt? I could believe it just being salt.
Yeah, I think Lay's probably have salt. But it is interesting that MSG is used in a lot of different American foods when there's a bit of a stigma against it. And that was largely coming from the 1960s, actually, when some empirical observations were reported in newspapers about this Chinese restaurant syndrome that people were coming across. That ended up not being backed up by any sort of science. Yeah.
So it looks like, Frito-Lay actually has a full list of their products that don't contain MSG. Oh, that's not right. Because they're saying Doritos are on that list. Interesting. Okay, so 8 foods with MSG include... Oh, well, it just says fast food. That's a rather broad category, don't you think? Chips and snack foods. Consumer favorites like Doritos and Pringles are just some of the chips that contain MSG. I'm getting conflicted messages here, honestly. I'm going to go with... Yeah, how old are the sources? That's a good question. Okay, Mitch is saying, how old are the sources? They might have changed the Doritos recipe between then and now. Have you ever had the OG taco flavored Doritos? I do not believe I have. Those don't really sound familiar. So I'm just going to have to err on the safe side and say, no, I have not. Am I missing anything in particular? He would recommend them. Got it. Are they still available? I feel like I would have heard of them by now. Okay, I've been given a second opinion that they are good. I guess I'm going to have to track these things down. Oh, what? Oh, okay. Those are the old bag. Yeah, I was going to say that those look kind of different than normal Doritos. Well, yes, a lot of things aren't... Sorry, I'm for everybody who's listening to the audio, a lot of things that are being discussed right now are being discussed through text chat. And yes, I do not think those look particularly good for me, but the reason why I eat them is not to be healthy.
They make you satisfied, correct?
Exactly. Sorry. All of the MSG in those, gotta love it.
I apologize. I had to take care of some rocky waters. Another driver of a vessel got lost when trying to deliver my... food package, and I needed to steer them correctly to the right docking location. If you can catch my drift.
Indeed. You are the excellent captain. I do not blame you for doing your duty.
Oh no, this wasn't my job. I ordered this food. I'm just saying, I ordered the food.
The public doesn't have to know. The first captain cover-up on WJEB Radio, Milwaukee's finest country rock.
What am I having for dinner? I ordered Lucky Lou's, and I got Mongolian beef, which is most, in spite of its name, is actually mostly just... grilled scallions, if you ever get it from Lucky Lou's, and not actually the beef, but it's cheap and it is very good.
I mean, scallions are pretty good, so like.
Oh no, I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, between scallions and beef, I'm not actually sure which is more expensive.
Oh man,
I've never been to Lucky Lou's. My apologies.
I would say it's pretty good. John Bilkey, the broadcast, the operator, founder of this station himself, says that he loves Lucky Lou's. Oh, Mitch, it's great. You should really go.
I hear a Lucky Lou's outing in the making.
Smooth sailing Lucky Lou's edition.
Let's go.
What did you discover about MSG while I was gone?
We discovered quite a few things about MSG. First is that it is a additive to a lot of Chinese or Asian foods. Second is that when you look up foods with MSG in them, for some reason, the first things that pop up are not Chinese or Asian foods. They are American junk food for the most part. Albeit there are conflicting reports based on whether or not Doritos actually has MSG in them anymore.
So why put MSG in your food? What does it add?
It's kind of like so if we have like salt on the sweet side, we have sugar on the sweet side, we have salt on the salty side, then we have MSG on the savory side, pretty much.
Okay.
It's like the savory salt, more or less, as far as I can tell.
The savory additive, got it.
Yeah.
So, why would basically junk food companies put that in their food then?
Probably to make it more filling or to add a sort of like third layer to whatever food they're making. It's just like if there's not like actual quality there, then adding a savory taste probably makes it feel like there is. Or at least that's my assumption.
I see. John Bilkey says that MSG is powdered umami, baby. And who doesn't like that umami taste? Isn't it wonderful?
It is wonderful. Oh.
We should probably get back to what we were talking about.
Probably.
We haven't even touched on what our main topic was going to be.
Yeah.
Going back to the start, how we even know each other is, you are a student at the Milwaukee School of Engineering.
I am indeed. I am also very good at getting people off of track, and I'm sorry.
And, no, this is highly entertaining. And I don't think anyone would disagree that we often devolve into food talks on this talk show. Like, it occurs more often than you would think.
Food is the universal constant.
Speaking of the universal constant, I just cracked open my fortune cookie. You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's go.
One touch of nature makes the whole world kin.
Whole world kin?
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to kin you. No offense.
Is this like... What does that mean?
I'm not going to elaborate since you don't know, and I'm not going to ruin that. I do not want to go into what kinning means.
No. That's not what I'm confused about. What I'm confused about
is the expression itself.
Yes. That's what it actually is.
Almost certainly not. I just misunderstood really badly and or made a joke. It's up to you to decide which.
I'm going to decide it's a joke, but... I assume it's kin as in, like, family, right?
I'm going to start calling you cousin.
I don't like that. Please don't.
Don't worry,
do that.
I won't. Yeah, no worries. I said it once, and that's enough for me.
Would anyone in the chat like to be called cousin by Nathan? That sounds like a no.
Yeah, radio silence is a no, so I am absolutely fine with this. I have a lot of cousins, but no offense, none of you are them. I have like 34 cousins.
Yeah, I'm about the same.
Big families, let's go.
We got off track again. Yep. At the Milwaukee School of Engineering, there's an organization called MAGE, which people have accused of being aliens for some reason.
I do not know what you are talking about.
Are our major group of aliens secretly in disguise?
Now, I don't know who told you that, but I would like you to tell me who told you that, for reasons.
I'm sorry, I can't disclose that. I'm trying to figure out if the glorious Nick Seidler himself is the Hive Father.
Nick Seidler would not be the Hive Father. I mean, if the claims were true. Which they're not.
And there's also been accusations that the organization or council known as the Consinity Planning Organization is actually meeting not to discuss the planning of a con, but to discuss how they're going to take over the world one state at a time. First Wisconsin, then United States, next North America, and then the world.
Okay, so now, for legal reasons, I'm going to say this is false, but if it were true, then as the vice president, or as the vice chair for Consinity, I would tell you that if you want to join Consinity in their efforts to make the world a better place, then you should come to our meetings in Veet's Tower, or like join the Mage Discord so that you can get up to date on all of the news about it, you know?
But what does Consinity really do?
You mean besides...
What is it really about?
You mean besides getting accused of taking over the... trying to take over the world?
Mm-hmm.
On the front, at least, try to create a convention that is typically just sort of it's like a anime slash, or well, I guess not so much anime, but like it's inclusive like of pretty much all sort of cultures of that sort. It's like anime and chess. It's like all of the things that Mage is, but in a convention, you know? So it's like anime, chess, sci-fi, fantasy. For 2020, for an example, our theme was D&D. And so the plan was to have a living dungeon. We do a living dungeon every year hosted by a theater troupe, or historically hosted by a theater troupe, that... actually is like people going through it and like acting out experiences. I don't have too great of an idea of what it looks like in person since I haven't been to it yet, but it seemed like a very cool place. Last year we did Consinity Online, and that's the one that I helped with, and for that year we did, or I guess technically it's this year, since it was back in April, but last school year, we did a cyberpunk theme, in which we had people come on or talk about how to do things like create characters and run games, and we had a couple of like video game servers and like Twitch streams running in the background and stuff. So it was a fun time to be had. It's if you're an MSOE student, then it's free, which is also a really nice upside.
So, is the Living Dungeon planning to actually be held again by Theater Troupe this year?
I can neither confirm nor deny anything at this stage. I'm not the person who dealt with it last year or this year, or the year before, for kind of obvious reasons, because I wasn't here. I can say that we're going to be in person this year if COVID allows. And so the chances are leaning towards the we're going to try side, essentially.
I see. And I am also familiar that you were trying to bring back another long-running attraction at Con City, which is the Maid Cafe. Can you tell us more about that?
I can tell you that... Sorry, I don't know. My push-to-talk just went on and off. I can tell you that one of Mage's very own members... Well, of course, one of Mage's very own members, but... D is attempting to get together the Maid Cafe, and it will be happening during Consinity this year, so long as we are in person. My apologies for the short answers. We're still on the planning
side, of course.
Yeah.
Which is why people should attend.
Yeah, come out and help us. Or join us. We also have volunteer positions if anybody's interested in those, but those are sort of, you apply for those closer to the actual convention itself, and since it's not being held until next year, we'll probably send out a form through the Mage Discord at some point.
Do you know the specific date it's going to be held for people listening?
The Consinity itself? I believe it's... Yeah. Either April 23rd or 24th. It's really easy for me to check because I constantly have it running in the background. Yeah, so it's going to be held at... Am I allowed to plug the location too?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay, so it's 1025 North Milwaukee Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin... 53202 on April 23rd from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. CST. If you are part of MSOE, then you will probably know the building better as Dierks Hall, I believe.
Are you going to be using all of Dierks Hall or just the bottom floor of it?
I believe actually maybe even all of it. I'm almost certain that we're at... least going to be, or no, I am certain that we're at least going to be using like the auditorium, you know. I'm pretty sure that floor plans in the past have encompassed like two or three of the floors. So I'd assume probably the whole building.
That sounds like a lot of fun that people should attend.
Yeah, it does seem like that. It was a lot of fun last year, but it was also online last year. But I will do my best to keep it as fun, if not more so, this year.
And how long has Consinity been running? Is this a recent thing, or has it been going for a bit?
So Consinity has actually been running since 2000. They decided to start at that point because it made it really easy, or it might have been 2001. But it made it really easy to count which Consinity we're on because it's just the same as the year that we're on since 2000. So we're going to be holding our 22nd Consinity in 2022.
So you've been running for almost a quarter of a century at this point, if you really think about it.
Indeed. Which I hope to be running for a while more.
That's fairly impressive. Especially since you powered through COVID.
Yeah, I've heard that there were a lot of difficulties with transitioning for 2020's Consinity, but by 2021, although there were issues, they weren't quite as hectic to fix last year, which was very nice.
I only briefly attended Consinity last year. I stopped for one booth, which was the top secret booth. Did you go to that?
I believe that I briefly looked into it, but at the time I was helping with the Twitch stream.
Okay. Top Secret's a tabletop RPG. from the 80s originally, and it's a very wacky system. Very spy-centric, so combat's very lethal, and everyone's kind of on equal playing field.
Interesting. There are a lot of really cool RPGs out there that I haven't started yet, though I suspect in the near future I'll be doing a couple more, so I'm looking forward to sort of diversifying.
What was your favorite booth from last year?
My favorite food or booth?
Booth. Any exhibit okay. from Mage or Consignity.
I was actually doing the Twitch stream most of the time, just because I was having a lot of fun with it. There was a lot of audience interaction, as opposed to booths, but I sort of dropped into a couple of booths instead of staying dedicatedly focused on any of them. So I'd probably have to say that my favorite was probably just doing the Twitch stream. if you've ever played, so the games that we played were, I think, Hatful Boyfriend. We did a run through of that, and we tried voicing all the characters. They did Monster Prom After Dark, but I wasn't allowed, well, I was allowed, but I didn't join that in favor of looking at some other panels, I believe. We played a bit of Choice Chamber, which is really fun. A lot of audience interaction, if you've ever heard of it. And we played quite a bit of Jackbox, which was nice as well. There was also, I believe, a Minecraft server and a Stardew Valley server running, which I briefly joined in on, the Stardew Valley server. Yeah, that's a bit of what was happening last year. It definitely wasn't everything, and I believe that on our Facebook page we actually have recordings of all or most of the booths, so it shouldn't be a problem if you want to go back and check what they're like.
I'm sorry, I had to jump out there for a second when I muted myself. I had a rough waters come in, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I actually just kept talking because I noticed.
And I heard you talk about the previous booth locations that you can find online.
Yeah.
It might be a good idea to drop that in the general chat for historic reference that we might be able to put up on the site when we publish this episode, if people really want to look at that.
Yeah, actually, it might be a better idea because I've I'm the webmaster as well, my position is sort of webmaster, and then my title is vice chair. So I tend to I tend to post a lot of the stuff on the website and stuff like that. And so over the summer, I made a card, if you know what that is.
No, I don't believe I do.
So it's very similar to a link tree, if you know what that is. But I'll post that because it links to all of our websites associated with Consignity. Sorry, I'm like double tasking here.
No, it's perfectly fine. I believe a lot of people will be interested in seeing that, especially since we're so early and maybe people can point out what they would like and then go into the Discord server and say, hey, this is a good idea to bring back if possible.
Yeah. I'm currently also just working on the website. I don't know if I've told you about plans for the website, but I'm planning on presenting some ideas about edits to them in next week, actually. We intended to do it this week, but other matters got in the way that were more pressing. So we're going to figure out whether those resolve or not later.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just a bit... I should not disclose that, right?
Yeah, I'm... for the sake of... not A, announcing something that might not happen, and B, it's just a better idea not to say something that even some members of Consinity don't know. Anyway, sorry about that.
Nope. Perfectly fine. It's what the people want.
They want secrecy probably. And logic, or secrecy and obscure talk is what they want, apparently, especially in an audio medium.
One sec.
I've given him 1 second. He is no longer allowed to be muted. I joke.
I heard that joke in its entirety. It was very amusing. I laughed quite a bit.
Thank you.
Now that we're back.
Are you actually back?
We're going to be back for 5 minutes and then go on break to get things in order.
Coolio.
But when you say you were managing the Twitch, what did that look like?
Essentially, it was, I believe Jess, since she was the president at the time, the chair, the Consinity chair at the time, she was hosting a lot of games. While you were away, and I was just sort of rambling to cover, I talked about how we played Hatful Boyfriend and did some voiceovers for that. Same thing with Monster Prom after like 8 o'clock. We played a bit of Jackbox and Choice Chamber, and those were really fun and included a lot of audience participation.
Hateful Boyfriend's the pigeon dating game, right?
Indeed.
The bird dating game.
Yes, and now I own it thanks to my beloved roommate, Mike. Thank you, Mike.
What
you
do
are
you
now
mean,
immortalized.
What do you mean voiceover work?
So we had multiple people playing this game. A person, whenever a new pigeon or bird would appear, somebody would claim to voice that bird. And so we gave different voices to all of the birds. It is fairly amusing.
Interesting. Is the video up for that? Does that still exist?
Unfortunately, no. I didn't learn that Twitch videos got automatically deleted until after the period where it got automatically deleted. Otherwise, I totally would have saved the entire thing and cut it up into chunks and put it on a YouTube channel.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Looking forward, if we do another Twitch stream again, I would totally... I'm looking to, in the future at some point, it's not the highest priority, but at some point cut down all of the booths and stuff and see if I can publish them to a YouTube page just for easy access and everything.
And for documentation. For
exactly.
Future use.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of documentation dating back in the cons? I mean, spanning back to the year 2000, like, even as technology has progressed, like...
So
if you really think about it, like, the idea of holding a camera in your hand has changed a lot in the past 21 years. Like, how much footage do you have of the early Consinities, if anything?
Yeah, so this is a bit of an interesting point, actually. So we don't, or at least I don't personally have a lot of access to whatever materials we had in early Consinity days. The earliest access that I have casually to any of our information is 2013, when our website got produced. And our stance officially on the website, for some reason, is that it's supposed to be an archive, which is interesting. I believe
the
I may
website?
Have. Yes, I may have told you my opinions on that at some point.
No, you have not.
Okay, cool.
And if you don't want to disclose them here.
Yes, I think that just from my tone of voice, you might have been able to tell, but I can tell you more after we're off of the air.
If you would like to just continue through, we can also do that as I've had to get up quite a bit this past hour in specific.
It's fine. It's a fairly, I don't know if it's a short or long talk. It's just, it's essentially just boiling down to the website was created for functionality on our side instead of the user side, and that's something that I don't especially appreciate, especially when you're trying to advertise a convention. sorry, that's maybe a little more of a jab than I should really be making right now.
I think that's understandable.
So the entire front of the, the entire main page of the convention, you can scroll down to the bottom and you can see all of the posts that they made in 2013. Now, I don't have any of the backup data or photos or anything like that from 2013, but I've been told that our glorious sponsor, Nick Seidler, has hard drives of everything. I have not had access to any of those quite yet, since I haven't really needed to. We have a decent amount of information, I believe, archived, and just accessible. We're working on making the system better progressively, is what I'll say. We have Google Drives for the past couple of years, which have everything from photos to resources to the forms that we use to send out to sponsors, which I feel will be very useful for continuing to make them, you know?
Yes, and I mean, it's especially important now that we're in post-COVID times. You continued through COVID, but now you're really starting at ground zero all over again after everything shut down. Everything changed when the COVID attacked.
Yeah. Yes and no. So Consinity has or had, well, I'll say has a fairly dedicated couple of groups that we're associated with. And so I'd say that it never really it never got leveled per se, but I would say that it was probably closer to a big hit to people who are unused to transitioning between platforms, you know, or between mediums from real life to online conventions, or even to webmasters who are unused to sort of keeping everywhere up to date, you know. I personally, during COVID, had to update the website and the Facebook and the Discord separately, you know.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot to keep on top of, especially when it was a year's prep time, right? I believe, what was it? That was Consinity 2021 was the one that happened last year, right?
Consinity 21 is the one that happened earlier this year, or if you want to count school years, then last year, yeah.
Consinity 2020, the one that happened the year COVID broke out, was that online or was that in person?
It was online, actually. I heard that they did a very nice job of actually transitioning from originally in-person plans to online plans. I believe that a lot of the guests were actually pretty happy about it. And because it was online, we also didn't feel like it was fair to charge ticket prices. So it was free for the past couple of years. But now that we have an in-person convention, first-time attendees have a rather inexpensive, in my opinion, ticket price. But
and
I believe
that's
only
if you're not an MSUE student, just to remind people.
There are also differing prices for students and non-students. And also, I'm pretty sure that it was said that tickets, like sort of like not travel between years, but after your first attendance, you can get in for free every subsequent year or something like that.
Is that returning or is that just a rumor that it might return?
I believe that it's returning. I'd have to talk I'd have to talk to Nick to just sort of double check on that, because it seems like something that I shouldn't like mispromote, you know. But I'm pretty sure that returning attendees, as long as you've paid for a previous ticket, can come back for free.
Well, either way, it's a very inexpensive ticket in any situation.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just sort of looking up the ticket prices now.
It's what you do inside that gets you.
What does that mean?
Like, I'm going to cough. It means amusement park logic. Have you ever been to Six Flags or any amusement park?
Have you ever stepped inside?
Have you ever gone, wow, this bottle of water costs $4. That's a lot for a bottle of water.
Yes. Sorry, I'm sort of distracted. So I found the ticket prices. So advanced ticket prices are $10 per person, or $5 with student ID, and free for MSOE students. And then door prices are up $5 from all of those prices, except for MSOE students.
So when you say student ID, you mean any student, like
yes,
any university. Like if you wanted to bring a friend that's going to UWM or Marquette, that's the real draw there.
Exactly. So if you are a student, not just an MSOE student, you can still come in at a reduced price.
Mitch has a question. Is it possible to construct a replica of Consinity using Roller Coaster Tycoon?
I have not played Roller Coaster Tycoon. I would assume possibly. Depends on how much time and modding you want to put into it.
I don't think it would actually be that hard. Especially in... I'm going to show something. There's an open source project called OpenRCT2. Which is Open Roller Coaster Tycoon 2, which is arguably the best one in the series. I would highly recommend it. And Mitch, to answer your question, I think it is possible there. But you would have to recreate Derek's Hall in Roller Coaster Tycoon, so rosy and everything, which might be more difficult.
Okay, checking back on previous ticket prices, I'm not seeing anything about free for returning people, so I'm just going to put that out there, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being said, now that we covered all that, you've been talking for a bit. I've taken a lot of breaks, but let's just go on a 5-minute break for everyone listening and for yourself. For those who don't remember, this has been Smooth Sailing on WJEB Radio 101.1 FM. I've been here with Nathan, and we'll be back in 5 minutes. Welcome back to Smooth Sailing on WJEV Radio, Milwaukee's finest classic country music. I am here with Nathan Bees.
Hello, I'm Nathan Bees.
And we have been talking about Consignity, but as we're running out of time because of some rocky waters I ran into earlier in this show, and also our extensive conversation on the savory substance that induces umami into our mouths, the good old MSG, we absorbed quite a bit of time with that. So the last thing that Nathan and I really want to talk about is Veets versus MLH, and specifically as a resident who has lived in both, and the first person I have ever had on Smooth Sailing that has lived on both, or could possibly have lived on both, what are your opinions, having lived in both buildings?
I think that there are benefits and drawbacks to living in either one of them. Did you not live in MLH?
Oh, I lived in MLH last year. We should probably preface this by explaining what MLH is. It's a market lock hall, and it's let's just call it the older dorm on campus.
It is the one for people who want to save money that are incoming freshmen because they have to live on campus, or sophomores because they have to live on campus.
Or so they say.
Is this not true? I know that you can avoid it by being in a building or licensed under your parental figure or guardian.
Well, that's true, but also if you are gender neutral, essentially if you are not a man, you can also elect to live in Regents. Oh, I'm getting a call. I need to go. One sec.
I'll give them magnificent details about MLH and Veets. Don't worry about it. So MLH, Veets, Regents, and Grohmann are the four sort of places that you can live on campus at MSOE. Of the four, I believe that MLH is the oldest and also the most inexpensive. You can get a double or a single room. And then slightly up from that, I actually don't know if I can say slightly up because I've never been inside, but then there's Regents, which is a girls' dormitory in which I believe they live in sort of like pod sections where they have a common living area. I don't know too much about it, so I can't say too much about it.
I can actually butt Regents in cost here.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, it does cost the same as MLH, and I've been inside of Regents. So I can tell you that their dorm rooms are quite spacious, especially compared to MLH and Veets.
Got
like
it.
A double in Regents is, I would
double
say,
double the size?
More, not double the size, but a double in Regents is definitely more spacious than what you would get in either Veets or MLH, though I'm not sure about the Veets side, because one of the things that Veets offers that was supposed to be a draw is it's a modular furniture setup.
Oh, yes.
That they advertise.
So it is modular. They weren't completely lying. I will say, though, after having spent 2 hours trying to get my roommate's bed unlofted, you need at least 3 people to work on that at the same time. So while it is customizable with the parts that you have, at least, it is not necessarily easy to do.
In addition, I would just like to add, sorry to cut you off, but they're, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, they give you quite a lot of modular furniture, maybe too much for every dorm, instead of you getting to choose what you actually want in your room.
Yeah, I can definitely see people having that problem. I stuck with my original setup, like the one that they sort of just provide to you. So I haven't had too many problems because they, of course, designed it in like a pretty nice way if you're completely average like I am. Joking. So it's like it's the lofted bed and then you have like furniture under it and like it's all set up in a decent way. But say for my roommate, who's like 6'4", he every time he would try to climb up to his bed or every time that he would sit up even just a little bit on his bed would hit his head on the ceiling. So it was not optimal. And now he's had to he managed to get everything decently organized, like he was able to actually move like the drawers to another place and the table to or the desk to the other side of the bed or on the outside of the bed frame. But yeah, I can definitely see that if you don't have like standard equipment or if you have too much stuff or if you do want to customize it, it can definitely become a problem. I can definitely see that happening.
And MLH's furniture, what would you say about that?
Not customizable at all. Very old. It's like the tables are so old and like so they're wooden and they don't have like any sort of like new layers of like coating, which means that if you're just writing on them and you're writing with like a mechanical pencil or something, and you hit a divot, then your mechanical pencil can and will rip through your paper.
But what do you prefer?
Which do I prefer? Well, kind of obviously I prefer Vietz in the sort of furniture regard, just because there's more of it and there's more room to place things in general. Like the rooms are just physically bigger and they provide a little bit more furniture for you to utilize. But for anybody who's like non-standard or if you have like a TV or something, then it's kind of difficult to say, albeit that's under the assumption that you also get a loft in MLH, in which case, or without which, you wouldn't even have nearly as much room, or enough room, to actually put things like a TV into your room in the first place. So, it's sort of like, I prefer Vietz by default for the furniture, but if you get a loft in MLH, then I prefer Vietz only a little bit more, you know?
Mm-hmm. And that's not even the price where you can get a single in MLH and have all that extra space for the same price that Vietz would be. But Vietz has air conditioning, which is its main draw.
Vietz does have air conditioning, and I'm pretty sure they have a Wi-Fi router for every room, if you don't mind attaching yourself to the school's Wi-Fi. And not having your own secure network. Yeah, the AC is definitely a big upside. I'll say that it's honestly, the air conditioning is a very good reason to get to Vietz. Like, it sounds like a really silly reason, but it's just, like, you don't have to worry about, like, getting too hot or getting too cold, typically, because you want, you can actually just set it to a schedule. So, for example, my roommate and I have difficulties falling asleep if it's too warm in a room. So what we do is we leave our window open and we set the air conditioner to go on at a certain time so that when we wake up, we won't be freezing, you know?
Hmm.
Do you not like this?
No. No, I like that. I'm just confused because, as I understand it, the air conditioner can only be in cool mode or heating mode at any given time. I don't know if you knew this, but there's hard caps. It can either be 72 degrees or lower, or 70 degrees and higher. And those are the only two settings that we can have the heat on in Veats. And right now it's in the 70 or higher category. Have you managed to actually get it lower? Or have you just managed to get it lower by, you know, opening your window?
Yeah, we just let it get lower by opening the window. And then what we end up actually doing is we let the room heat using the air conditioner.
Okay.
Yeah,
because
yeah, you can't. So what you can do is you can set it to auto if you just have it on. However, so auto is it measures the temperature of the room, and then whether it's higher or lower, it automatically does one or the other, you know, so it tries to balance out to that temperature. But for the schedule, you actually have to choose either heating or cooling, and so we always, or at least during the winter, we've always done heating so that we have a warm room. So yeah, that's
I'm just thinking, like, I'm sorry. I'm going to go off on a tangent on something I saw as an RA.
Okay.
Some people don't understand you can open up a window to cool your room down. And they also don't understand that the heating mode restrictions are in place and you can still get around them by opening up a window. So I've had humidity problems with some people on my floor where they will... where, like, the walls will be sweating and creating literal puddles on the ground.
What?
And there was one person in particular who, their room got so humid that I had to call in custodial, and they took a humidity reading of the room, and it was at 90% humidity.
What the heck? Dude, I'll say this, our air conditioner makes a weird whining noise because we physically do not have enough water in our air conditioner because the condensation isn't happening properly. And you're telling me that there are people whose, like, entire rooms are sweating?
Yes.
Jeez.
So, Mr. Hendricks asked about the build quality of these. We're not going to discuss that because I'm already treading water with what I'm talking
about. Am I allowed to discuss it?
My job. You may, but I'm pretty sure that depending on our brief tangent about humidity, it's pretty apparent that there's some issues.
Yeah.
With
so,
how they constructed the building.
So, on one hand, Veats looks very nice, especially at, like, just sort of first glance, right? Like, they did a lot of refurbishing, so the building itself actually used to be a different sort of residence hall, if I remember correctly, and they sort of rebuilt based off of the structure of that residence hall.
Well, I'm going to butt in here. You're right. In fact, you can even notice this when you're touring the building because you'll come across a division where they stop, where the old building used to end and where they just kind of continued on with the rest of it. That's what that actual dividing, like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Between Veats and Regents?
No. In your actual study lounge area, if you exit your room and then walk towards the two floor lounges that every floor has, which are quite nice, but also very loud at night, you'll notice a division very clearly in the floor and the ceiling where the old building stops and the new building starts.
I might have noticed that at some point, but I haven't really paid attention to it.
You'll know. Take a look. Take a look later tonight. You'll see what I'm talking about. But
will anyways, do.
Back to what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, MLH was built over the span of, I think, like 2 years, and unfortunately, as was evident by the fact that they hadn't gotten it finished when they were showing it off on the open presentation day, or I forget what it's called, but like on their showing day, they physically, we didn't have chairs in our rooms until like mid-October. Like we had like fold out plastic chairs. So that's the sort of like, it's like a red flag that I had just immediately, because you the more closely you look at it, the more you realize that towards the end, it was definitely a rush job, you know? Like,
well,
I,
the chairs, not, can I tell you something very shocking?
Yes.
The chairs weren't actually one of the rush job issues. The excuse, oh, both officially and unofficially, well, was shipping delays kept the chairs from showing up, which was actually true. It was all contractor stuff. They ordered them early. Like, I've seen all the stuff. It was legitimately not, like, nothing we could have done to get them faster. The thing that was our fault was the ladders not being there.
Oh, no. Yeah, which, it's... I will, am I allowed to speak in hypotheticals real quick?
Briefly. Bilky, this episode never happened, okay?
So, hypothetically, if you put a command strip on the wall, the paint would hypothetically not hold if you took it off.
Oh, no, we know about that.
Yeah, there's one layer of paint on the entire wall, I'm pretty sure, and like no primer. Like, they did not finish these rooms properly, and there's like still like holes in the ceiling, because you can see how the concrete was like poured out and everything, and it's just a little wacky. I'm going to continue just briefly, just sort of highlighting a couple of problems, and then I'll get back to like positives about it if we have enough time. But other specific problems that I've noted is like the bathroom showers. It essentially, the floors aren't sloped, and there's not enough of a divide between the shower and the rest of the floor. So they sort of expected this like thin, plastic wavy sheet to be able to keep all of the shower, all of the water, off of, like the sort. So there's a sort of, booth, and then there's the inside of the shower, right?
Yes. And I know the mat you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah. So, essentially what they tried to do instead of, like providing any sort of like floor divide between like the shower floor and the rest of the floor in order to stop spillage or the massive puddles that were happening, they instead decided to provide us with shower mats, because they figured, oh, hey, the students are slipping, so shower mats must be the solution. The solution was to prevent the water problem, and they have not fixed it yet.
That wasn't actually their thought process.
Yeah.
It was legal. I'm pretty sure it was legal reasons. They're the reason they gave those mats out to us, not to actually fix the problem. Because one of the first things that even the RAs realized when they put the mats down were that the water would still get trapped underneath it. In fact, it only made the problem worse, because once the water got trapped underneath it, as soon as anyone stepped foot on the water, it would shotgun the entire trapped bubble of water everywhere to the next shower, all the way across the bathroom floor. Like, it did not help at all. So I'm pretty sure it was only for legal reasons, but I can say on the good side, Veeps is improving, like, every day as we speak, and they are raising the floors over winter break.
Oh, that is very nice to hear.
So the showers and Veeps will be perfect, hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
Very soon.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed very soon.
There's, yeah,
And the other thing that is unfortunate is it's very hard to get to the CC from Beats, and that will also be the construction roadway that, I have to admit, it looks pretty nice.
It does look pretty nice.
Will be open definitely by the time Christmas break is over. So those are my personal two main gripes with Beats. And, yeah. Also, about the paint, yes, we are very much aware about the paint. Tell your RA, if you live in Beats and you're hearing this, if you chip the paint, because we have to put tickets in to get everything repainted at the end of the year. Because
hypothetically, do we have to pay for that?
No. Hypothetically, you do not have to pay for that.
Okay,
in fact,
cool.
I will tell you, in reality, you will not have to pay for that. It's like, even I have chipped paint. In fact, I put up signs, right, for every day of the week so people can see what events are going on my floor. And the signs I put on two of the main central pillars in the dorm, and I didn't like how they were placed. I thought they were slightly off level, so I wanted to take them off and, you know, level them with each other so they looked better. That, like, even the simple blue tape that they give you can take off paint like no one's business from those walls.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So,
I was just going to say, I'm going to start shifting over to comparison to MLH and what I like about Veeps.
Mm-hmm.
So first is that MLH's showers I do not like. I like some of them more than I like the Veeps ones, but for mm-hmm. different reasons. So what I really like about the Veeps showers is that they have that little alcove before the shower portion, right? Mm-hmm. In MLH, there's like, it's you walk into a sort of corner, and then there are two dividers, or there's a divider and then two showers and a plastic curtain and then hooks outside, and that's it. And those aren't very nice at all. I don't like those. What I do like above what's in Veeps is the shower heads for all but the third shower in Veeps, because Veeps has four showers per floor. I haven't used the unisex one at all, so I can't speak for that one. But in the bathrooms, or sorry, I guess technically seven per floor, because there are three showers in each bathroom. So you have two bad ones and then one nice one, where it has an actual shower head. And then the two bad ones have like this weird like thing that you can screw and unscrew. You can't angle it at all. You can't position it. And you can barely like choose like what sort of like pressure it shoots at you with, right? In MLH, at the very least, you were able to change the direction of the shower head, right? And it also
yes.
gave a little bit more of a spray instead of whatever the heck Veeps has. So
it's interesting, because the reason that two are good and one is bad is they're actually going to be, from what I've heard, switching to the good shower heads also when they redo the bathrooms.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say that that's probably what they should do, and so I'm glad to hear that they're probably going to do it.
Yeah, at least that's the last I've heard that, and this was before Thanksgiving break. Apparently they did Veeps floor 4 already completely done as a test run, and it went fine from everything I've heard.
What's floor 4?
It's the fourth floor of Veeps. No, it's the music. officially, it's the music for. Unofficially, we won't get into.
Oh,
anyways,
right. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, so...
Yeah, Mitch, that's an apt description.
Yeah, so, those are the things, or the differences that I like and dislike about, Vita's showers. So, another thing that's different, that's in Vita, that's not in MLH, is the, study / living spaces. Mm-hmm. Those are actually, nice. On one hand, they're very nice to, meet up with people. On the other, they're very annoying when the people outside of your room are really loud, you know?
Yes.
So it's a sort of double-edged sword. One thing that I will say that I like a lot more than I thought I would, and I like got insanely excited about it, I don't know why, is that we have an actual kitchen sink that you can wash things in. Which is mm-hmm. so much better than trying to wash all of your, like, cups and, like, all of your stuff in a gosh dang bathroom sink. It's so awful in LH in that regard.
You want me to blow your mind?
Oh, is there one on MLH and I just didn't know about it?
No. Regents has, like, fully built kitchens in every dorm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Regents is the best on-campus dorm that's not Grohmann. Grohmann beats everything else by, like, miles.
Yeah, well, Grohmann's apartments, it's kind of to be expected.
But, yeah, no, Regents has kitchens and a bathroom in every, for every, like, four rooms that share
Jeez.
That living space. Yeah,
okay.
Regents is quite nice.
Yeah, so if any, incoming freshman girls are listening to this, which is frankly fairly unlikely. Go to Regents, I guess.
Well, the downside of Regents is it's all non-binary and women. It's not a mixed dorm, which some people don't like. Of course, if you don't care about that, its quality is quite good, I believe. Yeah. And so people will go, but there's been cockroaches before. And I just go, but you also get all this stuff that every other dorm doesn't have.
I did not hear about you.
They don't really appear that often. There's been none this year. I think there was maybe one last year.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Also, like, if there are, then they're also in Vietz. Like, let's not kid ourselves, you know? Anyway. But yeah, so living spaces are really nice. There's the TV on every, like, two-floor lounge area. I haven't made use of that too many times, but I know a lot of people have, especially for, like, sports. I'm not really into sports, so I don't really do that very often, or, like, watch them very often. What else?
The ground floor is amazing compared to MLH.
Yes.
Of course,
so,
I love my public safety office where I am right now, but yeah.
Yeah, so there's, for people who don't know, I assume that everybody does at this point, but essentially, on MLH floor one, there's, like, a bathroom, a TV, an area with a couple of, like, board games in it, a couple of advisor rooms, and a water fountain. And then on ground floor of Vietz, there is a sort of cafeteria area. There's a, like, a little shop area. There are a couple of conference rooms and classrooms that you can rent out, especially for, like, events, like, if you don't mind me plugging a little bit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I run anime nights for Mage every Monday, Anna Mondays, going from 6 to 9 in Vietz 168. If you're interested, I have a form every week that people can vote for what we watch on the Mage Discord. So that's really nice. And then there's a little podium area, which is really good for either hosting presentations or pretending like you're hosting presentations. Just a lot of really nice spaces to sort of greet and stuff. And there's also the basement, which is, in my opinion, very nice. One thing that I liked about Veets, but is no longer a thing, is that it had free laundry for a little bit. Though I understood that that wasn't going to last. And now they have a ping pong table and a kitchen in the basement. I know that there's also a kitchen in MLH, but I don't know. I like the one in Veets a little bit better.
The kitchen?
Yeah.
Did you get to use the kitchen in MLH at all? I haven't gone across. For those that don't know that, just to preface what we're about to get on, the kitchen was closed last year, in the year 2020 to 2021, because of COVID safety.
Yeah, so I have a friend or two who likes cooking, and they graciously invited us to join them when they were cooking in MLH, and they provided an experience that I do remember fondly, albeit I do not know if I would say that I remember the MLH kitchen too fondly. It's decent. It's not of like bad quality. It's like if you ever took like a home ec classroom or a class in like high school, or like a cooking class in high school, it just very much resembles the sort of feel of one of those where it's like communal equipment, you know? I don't know how to describe it.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay, good.
Yeah. It's a very good way of actually describing what it feels like.
Yeah, so it's very nice to have the kitchens. And I know that it's not exclusive. It wouldn't usually be exclusive to, or have been exclusive to Veets. But like last year, since I didn't have it, it's nice to have it in both buildings now.
Mm-hmm.
To just like wrap up, although Veets has quite a few issues, they're working on a lot of them, and it sounds to me as if a lot of them are going to be relatively solved, if not completely. Is the price difference worth it? It depends on what you want your quality of life to be and how much you hang out with people, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be that's a very good way of putting it. If you're very social, Beats is definitely the dorm for you. If you want to sleep, same problem, but inverse as well. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Unless you get the TV room, that's the one thing that really makes me mad. The TV room is, from everyone that I've lived or talked to that has the TV on their like back corner, there's just no sleeping in that room. It's just awful for them.
Yeah, I apparently got a very nice room because I have the room right above the TV room. So I don't quite get like the full impact of like anything more or less. And I'm like right next to the bathrooms and also the stairs and everything. So yeah. I got really lucky with my first, with my room placement so far. Cause it's been, like right above, the entrance to, MLH. And then now it's where I am now.
Him into our dispatch center, so that's why when he called us,
okay. So that's sort of like wrapping that up. I don't really have too much more advice in the matter. This is where I'd usually fill silence, but I think that we relatively wrapped up that topic.
Yeah. That was a kind of good, that was a good capstone to really the discussion of MLH versus Beats. But I think that will be it for tonight. We don't have that much time left. Certainly not enough to discuss.
You don't want to talk about a weird topic with me? You don't want to talk linguistics?
Fine. Let's talk about the alphabet really quick.
So I'm like mostly joking, because if we did talk about linguistics, I would totally break it down to the alphabet. I would totally like draw out the scope into linguistics, because I actually am very interested in that sort of thing. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do like talking about it.
Then maybe that's what we can talk about on the sequel when I have you back, presumably, if you would like to be back in the future.
I am definitely not opposed.
On our special where we go to Lucky Lou's and talk about linguistics.
Let's go. We can talk about categories of languages. Are you interested to hear what different, or how hard certain languages are to learn if you're a natural English speaker?
Yes. I am. As Retchie once said, my body is ready. But I do have one quick question for you.
Yes?
If you threw all the letters in the alphabet into an arena, which one would come out on top in a fight?
Probably X. People tend to associate it with very intense things. Like Extreme or X Sports or
Xmas. Sort of,
yeah, or like X-Men. Just baby Jesus starts strangling someone now.
I like your answer. I think I also agree X would come out on top. Or
just very intense letter, you know?
Yeah. But what about X's polar opposite? Oh, I mean, as we know from the history and the great tragedy of tic-tac-toe, O has the possibility of beating X. I mean, X also has the possibility of beating O, but we can never be quite sure how that history actually turned out.
Which goes first in X or tic-tac-toe? I forget.
I don't. Actually, what's up? Which goes?
Apparently, it's O. So, fun fact about tic-tac-toe. O has the possibility of every time you play, forcing at least a stalemate if you play correctly, which is really stupid. And we've evolved to games beyond tic-tac-toe because we have calculated these sorts of things.
But that means that one sec.
It's like a food chain of letters, I guess. So it's just like O is defeated by every other character because it's soft and has no corners. But like X defeats every other character. So O is sort of like the kryptonite to X, I guess. That's how I describe it.
We will have to make a tier list of letters on the next episode with Nathan, entitled Lucky Linguistics. No, but that's Lucky Linguistics? Is that
Lucky Linguistics?
When we have Nathan B's back on and go to Lucky Lou's.
Indeed. I will be glad to be here again.
Well, once again, for everyone listening, this has been WJEB Radio, Milwaukee's finest classic country music on 101.1 FM. We will be back next week with another very special guest, and we will continue to be back every Saturday from 6 to 8 this academic quarter after our extended hiatus that I took last quarter. I hope to see people there. And if you need to call in or want to call in to our Discord to ask any questions like we're happening today with Mr. Hendricks, then go right ahead. Well,
farewell,
folks.
Farewell.
Good night and smooth sailing. Come on.